evening prior, she had awakened before him and discovered a man sublime in slumber. He stretched, recumbent on one side, facing her, one arm tucked against his chest, the other extended towards her. A few locks of black hair partially obscured his features, but Ildiko could still see the sharp line of his jaw, an equally sharp bridge of his nose. For a man who smiled and laughed so easily, his mouth had a distinct downturn, a gift of heritage from the cold-blooded mother he so despised. His deep-set eyes were closed, the thick lashes fluttering with the occasional twitch of his eyelids. A faint frown marred the stillness of his face for a moment, lowering the slant of his eyebrows. It faded as quickly as it appeared, and he sighed softly in his sleep. Ildiko reached out to smooth his brow. She pulled back, unwilling to disturb him and end her chance to openly admire him. He had rolled in the covers at some point. They bunched at his waist and twisted around one leg, leaving the other exposed to the cool night air that drafted in thin streams into the room through the window shutter's narrow slats. Ildiko blinked, and a surge of heat climbed from her belly to her chest, making the breath catch in her throat. He was naked under the sheets. She'd seen him bare-chested before, but he usually came to bed partially dressed, in loose breeches of parchment-thin linen. That long leg, bared to the evening air, from ankle to flank, revealed he'd chosen to forego such modesty. The Kai were a tall, graceful people, their willowy physiques deceptive. It was known among the human nations that the Kai were immensely strong, with bones like iron and just as heavy. The Belladine Lord Serevec was a big man, powerfully built, and looked like he could carry a draft horse on his shoulders. Brishan, by contrast, had seemed almost delicate. Yet, Ildiko suspected his weight equaled, if not surpassed Serevec's, as did his strength. Resting beside her, he seemed to Ildiko a living statue, carved from dark granite into a form of supple elegance and power. He was beautiful, and the tremor change in her perception of him robbed her lungs of air. He opened both eyes suddenly, making her jump. Two shimmering gold coins stared at her, unblinking.
"Good evening, wife," he said in a voice raspy with the remnants of sleep.
A closed-lipped smile curved his mouth upward and deepened the tiny lines that fanned from the corners of his eyes.
"You're staring. Do I have a fly on my nose?"
Fighting down a blush at being caught gawking at her own husband, Ildiko lightly tapped the tip of his nose with one finger.
"I was trying to find a way to kill it without punching you in the face. Lucky for you, it flew away."
He clasped her wrist and brought her palm to his mouth for a kiss. Generous with his affections, he'd done this many times before, but this time was different. This time, the brush of his lips across the sensitive centre of her palm sent hot shivers down her arms and back. Ildiko freed her hand from his grasp and sat up to fluff the pillows behind her. She avoided his gaze and smoothed the covers over her lap.
"I'm sorry to have woken you."
She caught the faint narrowing of his gaze from the corner of her eye. She was acting oddly, and he knew it. He started to sit up and recline beside her, but paused. A gravid silence hovered between them before Brishan cursed softly in Baskai. He yanked the covers over both legs and sat up. His fingers on her chin were light as he turned her head to face him. The firelight yellow of his eyes had paled, and the smile that greeted her when he awoke was gone.
"Forgive me, Ildiko. It was too hot yesterday for bedclothes, and I usually sleep unclad. I meant to be up and dressed before you."
He dropped his hand and motioned for her to turn away. "This will only take a moment." He tried to rise, halting when Ildiko grabbed his arm. She heard it in his voice, threads of disappointment, embarrassment. He thought her disgusted by the sight of him naked beside her and barely covered by the bed covers. The opposite couldn't be more true. That persistent blush did a slow crawl up her neck. This time, Ildiko ignored it. "Don't be foolish, Brishan. I should be the one embarrassed. You caught me eyeing you like prized horseflesh." She chuckled as his eyes rounded. "Don't look so shocked. I may be human, but I'm not blind. I've come to appreciate Kai beauty." She raised her chin. "And I refuse to apologize for indulging in admiration of my own husband." Brishan's wide grin matched her own, even if his teeth far outmatched hers in intimidation. He tucked his pillows behind his back and recaptured her hand. Ildiko didn't pull away this time. "And here I thought I'd married a shy, blushing maiden," he teased. Ildiko sniffed and tugged aside the collar of her nightrail to reveal her neck, now feverish to the touch and no doubt bright red. "You're partially right. I'm blushing right now." She released the collar and gave him an arch stare. "I am not, however, a maiden." To a Gowrie nobleman intent on siring heirs of his blood, confirmation of a new bride's innocence was paramount. Ildiko's cousins had been guarded like prisoners by an army of governesses and bodyguards, as if their maidenheads were made of precious stones instead of flesh. Any man deemed unworthy as suitor material by the royal family risked life and limb by so much as casting an admiring glance towards one of the prisoners. Ildiko's own virtue was far less prized and, as such, her aunt didn't act quite the zealot towards protecting it. Brishan had never inquired, and she hoped it was from lack of interest, more than an assumption that she was yet uninitiated into the physical intimacies between men and women. Brishan wriggled his eyebrows at her and crossed his arms. "Ah, a tale of your past. You keep your secrets close, wife. Tell me this one. What lovers taught you the pleasures of the flesh?" She squeezed his fingers, relieved that her admission incited only curiosity. Maybe the Kai didn't place the same value on such a silly notion as the Gowrie did. "Lover," she said, "just one, and I didn't find it all that pleasurable." Brishan lost his slight smile, but remained silent. Ildiko shrugged. "It was nice, but certainly not worth drinking Laura's flower tea beforehand." She shuddered at the memory. "Did he force you?" Brishan asked the question in a voice gone guttural. Tiny white sparks flashed in his eyes. Ildiko patted his arm and eased her hand out of his before he forgot he could crush her fingers with one squeeze. "Of course not. He was a pleasant lad, the youngest of a minor nobleman's 8 sons. Neither of us knew what we were doing, really. It was messy and awkward and not worth bothering with after the 3rd time." Brishan's mouth contorted into strange shapes as he struggled to hold back his laughter. "Why didn't you try someone else? An experienced lover would have taught you much. It's called pleasures of the flesh for a reason, Ildiko, and goes far beyond clumsy fumblings under the covers." She waved a nonchalant hand. "It still wouldn't have been worth it, in my opinion. Laura's flower tea prevents a man's seed from catching in the womb, but it tastes so foul, even the memory of it makes my stomach turn. Surely there is nothing so pleasurable to make it worth drinking that swill." Her comment made Brishan laugh outright, his fangs gleaming white in the room's twilight. He reached for her braid and wrapped it loosely around his forearm. "Ah, my Ildiko, what a practical soul you have." "I consider it an attribute, not a fault. More people could use a dose of practicality now and then." He tugged on her braid. "I don't disparage you. I find such a trait one of your charms." The colour of his eyes had deepened once more, to the lamplight gold he'd shown her when he first woke. While Ildiko couldn't track the movement of his eyes, except for the slight jerk at the edges of the eye sockets, she had the sense his gaze touched long on her hair, her shoulders and neck, her bare arms. The fine tingle dancing along her skin transformed to a sizzle. Ildiko inhaled sharply as Brishan leaned close to nuzzle the sensitive spot at her temple with his nose. His breath tickled her ear. "One of many," he whispered, and his words were a caress along her back. Brishan's lips fluttered along the edge of her ear to her earlobe, caught between the sensual beguilement of his light touch and the unconquerable fear that he might inadvertently snap off her earlobe with his teeth. Ildiko sat frozen, her breath riding through her mouth and nose in jagged exhalations. As if he sensed her wariness more than her desire, he pulled away slowly, shoulders rigid, face wiped clean of expression. He uncoiled her braid from his arm and smoothed it over her shoulder, his movement controlled and careful. He drew away from her in both body and spirit. Ildiko clutched his arm, unwilling to have him leave her side. "I enjoy your touch, Brishan." The stiffness eased from his shoulders. He gave her a wry look and pressed his palm to the pale expanse of skin just below her collarbones. His hand rose and fell in quick time to her breathing. "I believe you, but this tells me you fear it as well." She winced.
"Your teeth are so sharp."
"They are, but I'm not careless, wife. And if, for some unfathomable reason, I accidentally bite you, you're welcome to bite me back." His attempt at humour worked, and Ildiko chuckled.
"Brishan."
She offered him a toothy grin. "These wouldn't do much damage." He traced the line of her collarbones with the rough pads of his fingers, their dark claws a whisper of movement across her flesh.
"You have obviously never been bitten badly by a horse."
Strange as the analogy was, she had no argument to rebut it. Instead, she contented herself with lifting strands of his hair from his shoulder and letting it slide between her fingers. Brishan's eyes drifted shut at the caress, and he shifted position so that he laid crossways on the bed, his head in her lap, his back to her. If they both didn't have 100 tasks to complete once they rose, she'd be content to stroke his silky hair for hours. A lock of hair snagged in her loose grip.
"Sorry," she said. "You've got a few tangles back here."
"You can brush it for me when we get up."
"Very clever," she thought. "I'll brush your hair if you tell me about your first lover. Hopefully the encounter was more memorable than mine." She felt the tensing of his cheek on her leg when he smiled. He stayed quiet, and she pulled on one of his tangles.
"I told you a past tale, Brishan. Your turn. Wouldn't you rather hear about how my nurse caught me practicing how to write my name by pissing on my bedroom walls?"
Ildiko rolled her eyes. "No, I wouldn't. You just told me too much already." Silent laughter shimmered down her leg. Brishan turned onto his other side to face her. His head pressed into her belly, warm and heavy. He took her hand and placed it back on his head. She took the hint and resumed carding his hair.
"My first lover was 13 years older than me, and the most famous courtesan in all of Bas Haradis. My father felt if anyone was to teach his sons the skills of the bedchamber, it should be someone well known for them." Ildiko halted,
and Brishan tapped the back of her hand to continue.
"You asked," he said.
Ildiko wasn't shocked by his revelation, and in many ways understood Jador's logic. She twirled strands of Brishan's hair around her finger, let it unspool, and twirled it again. "I should have hired myself a courtesan," she mused. Men as well as women sold their favours in Prisid's flesh markets, though how she might have sneaked one into the palace
was another subject altogether. Brishan startled beneath her hand, and he sat up, clumsily, half-swaddled as he was in blankets and sheets. He gaped at Ildiko.
"You are an odd creature," he finally said.
She wished for a lit candle, so she might better see him in the slowly darkening room.
"You'll adjust," she said, in her sweetest voice, and promptly swatted him with a stray pillow.
He toppled to the side, only to spring up, a matching pillow in his hands.
"That is a declaration of war, Ildiko."
"Of course it is." She took another swing at him with her pillow, only to be interrupted by a pounding at the door. Instead of his servant's voice as she expected, Brishan's steward called from the other side.
"Your Highness, the constable from Halmatus Township has arrived to seek an audience."
Brishan's shoulders drooped, and he dropped his pillow with a sigh.
"I've not wasted my hours here with you, wife, but I've matters to attend to, and no one waits at the leisure of a lowly prince who isn't the heir apparent."
Ildiko shared his disappointment. She had a task list longer than her arm to take care of herself, but it didn't lessen her regret at having to end these moments with Brishan. She knee-walked across the bed to him and slid her arms around his neck.
"I owe you a hairbrushing," she said.
He enclosed her in a loose embrace.
"You do. I'll collect later. Count on it."
He kissed her forehead and lowered his arms.
"Off with you. With any luck, we can share lunch."
She left him for her room, giving him a last glance and nod as he watched her leave from his spot in the middle of the rumpled bed. Her ear still tingled where he'd kissed her, and her back felt feverish at the memory of his touch. Anuzet's quick tap on her shoulder brought Ildiko back to the present and the reality of horses, torchlight, and Kai fighters trying to kill each other on a dusty training field.
"Highness, do you want someone to summon him?"
Anuzet nodded at Brishan, still locked in martial embrace with his opponent. Ildiko flinched, barely able to watch. Someone was going to end up with a broken neck or broken something before this was done.
"No," she said. "Let's leave. I don't want to distract him, and I'll see him soon enough at the house."
She turned her horse amidst the soldiers who accompanied them to the dye house. They followed her, but stopped when she held up a hand.
"Stay if you wish. We're within the redoubt. I don't need an escort."
She nudged her mount into a trot, Anuzet riding beside her. They weren't far from the iron gates that opened to a manicured loggia and more orderly landscape. A flash of motion teased the corner of her eye. Ildiko turned in time to see Anuzet draw her sword, utter a swear word, and resheathe the weapon. Brishan loped toward them, long legs flexing as he cut across their path. Ildiko had barely slowed her horse when he caught up, grasped her saddle pommel, and landed behind her in a smooth running mount.
"That is the worst display of showing off I've ever seen," Anuzet said in forbidding tones.
"Of course it is." Brishan wrapped an arm around Ildiko's waist and pressed himself against her back. "I'm trying to impress my wife."
"I'm very impressed."
Ildiko flashed him a smile over her shoulder. Brishan's hands wandered over the folds of her cloak.
"Why are you damp?
And you smell like salt.
Did you fall into a dye vat?"
"Dived in is more like it,"
Anuzet volunteered in cheery tones. Ildiko narrowed her eyes.
"You can leave now, shy Anuzet. I'm sure Brishan can get me safely to the front door in the next 15 steps by himself."
Anuzet's unrepentant cackle echoed in the night air as she saluted and wheeled her horse back towards the outer redoubt. Ildiko guided her horse to a waiting groom. Brishan dismounted first, and Ildiko waved away his offer to help her down. She was perfectly capable of climbing off her own horse. Hoping to delay her confession and avoid showing off her new skin colour to Brishan, she asked him about his wrestling bout.
"Did you win?"
"No. Neferitsin is my best wrestler. He remains unbeaten in all matches so far. If any of us must face an enemy in unarmed combat, we want him beside us."
They entered the castle,
passed through the great hall and climbed one of the two stairwells that flanked either side of the high-ceilinged chamber. Candlelight lit their way down the corridor. Ildiko didn't stumble around in the dark as often these days, but she was glad for the candles and their anemic luminescence. She stopped in front of her door, turned to face Brishan, and adopted what she hoped was a nonchalant expression, especially when he was standing before her half-naked. She tried not to let her avid gaze linger on him too long. "You'll want a bath, I'm sure. I'll meet you later for a meal or some wine."
Brishan placed a hand over hers on the door latch. "You're not getting rid of me that quickly, wife. My cousin said you dove into a dive at. I'll be on my way once you satisfy my curiosity."
Resolved to the inevitable, she motioned him inside. Sinwe was elsewhere, probably getting an earful from another servant or soldier about how Brishan's homely wife tried to make herself more pleasing to the eye by dyeing herself pink. If horses travelled as fast as gossip, they'd blow their riders clear off their backs. Brishan laughed only a little when Ildiko removed her cloak, shrugged off her ruined tunic, and revealed her arms, neck, and shift dappled in varying shades of summer rose.
"I look ridiculous," she huffed.
"You look pink," he replied.
He circled her slowly.
"And you chose to bathe in amaranthine. Why?"
Ildiko told him the story of her necklace. "I didn't want to lose it. I know someone could have fished it out of the vat for me, but I panicked." She lifted the necklace from where it nestled under her bodice laces and handed it to Brishan. "I think it's worth very little in coin, but is precious to me. The clasp broke as I leaned over to get a closer look at the cold dye."
Brishan raised the chain for a better look. "It's a good piece. Remember the constable from Halmatus?"
Ildiko nodded.
"A jeweller resides there. He can repair the clasp or fashion a new chain for your necklace."
Ildiko eyed the necklace longingly. Her hand itched to snatch it out of Brishan's grasp, but she squelched the urge. He deserved her trust, even with those things precious and irreplaceable to her. She clasped her hands behind her back. "Would it take long to fix the clasp?" He must have heard something in her voice, something hesitant and fearful.
"Not long. I can deliver it myself if you like."
Ildiko clapped her hands. "Oh, yes, please. Would you?" Mortification rushed in hard on the heels of euphoria. "I'm sorry, Brishan," she said. "You're not a messenger boy. Someone else can go." Brishan offered the necklace to her, his head cocked in a way that Ildiko was fast recognising as a sign of his amusement.
"You misunderstand me, Ildiko. I'm not going alone. You'll go with me. I've no eye for the delicacies of a woman's trinkets. You can deal with the jeweller. I'll just be there to keep you company and cross the man's palm with the coin he demands for his work."
She scooped the necklace out of his palm and held it close. "That is a wonderful idea. I know you're worried about the dangers of Belladine raiders, but I'd love to visit more of the towns and villages under Sagara's protection." He'd been reluctant to let her venture to Lakeside, convinced only by Anuzet's promise to bring a small army as escort, and the fact the town was within walking distance of the estate and the redoubt. Brishan lifted her hand, turning it one way and then the other.
"At least it wasn't nettle dye," he said, and kissed her knuckles before leaving her for a much-needed bath. He was right. Nettle dye was green. There were worse colours to sport than pink.
They met again for their supper in the Great Hall, and afterwards in his chamber for another game of Butcher's Covenant, in which Brishan outmanoeuvred her and slaughtered every man on her side of the board without losing more than three on his side.
"You're getting better," he said, as she lay the intricately carved pieces into a silk-lined box and closed the lid.
Ildiko snorted. "That's a lie, and you know it. Just when I think I've outsmarted you, you kill off one of my men." Brishan poured them both a goblet of wine from a nearby pitcher.
"You've outsmarted me on several occasions in the game. Your weakness is you overthink your strategy and question yourself until you react instead of plan. He handed her one of the goblets along with a comb. You are, however, far better with a comb than you are with Butcher's Covenant.
Ildiko took the comb. That doesn't comfort me. One is an exercise in strategy, the other carding wool.
He dropped down onto his haunches in front of her chair and tilted his head back to gaze at her.
I am no sheep.
She gathered his hair into a waterfall that spilled down his back and set to combing out the dark strands.
Trust me, Brishan, no one with eyes will ever mistake you, or any kai for that matter, for sheep. More like wolves.
Brishan sat passive before her. His wide shoulders slumped, his breathing slow, as Ildiko glided the comb through his hair in long strokes.
Tell me a tale, she said.
It was their bargain. She groomed his hair, and he told her stories of his childhood in Haradis. Some were funny, others grim, though he told them in a matter-of-fact voice, as if it was quite commonplace for mothers to lash their children with a horsewhip because they had a slight lisp and couldn't quite master one of the simple spells all Kai children learned. Ildiko guessed Brishan had been rambunctious, resourceful, and clever. And he'd been born with a compassion and nobility of character neither of his parents possessed.
"What would you like to hear?" he asked.
She thought about it for a moment. Her request was more for an answer to a question than a story of the past. "Why are you nothing like the man who sired you and the woman who bore you?" It was as if she touched him with a hot brand. Brishan jerked forward, back stiff as a spear shaft. He gained his feet in one fluid moment and turned to Ildiko with his hand outstretched.
"Come with me," he said.
She stared at him, then took his hand without question. He led her through the manor, down to the first floor and out a door that led from a buttery to the bristling thicket of brambles and wild oranges that hemmed in one side of the estate. A pale moon hung thin in the sky, and did nothing to illuminate the earth below it. Ildiko stumbled along behind Brishan, blind as a mole in daylight. Her husband moved sure-footed in the suffocating darkness, guiding Ildiko towards a destination she assumed would answer a question she was starting to regret asking. They stopped before a patch of wall that surrounded part of the manor's loggia. Brishan uttered a word in a language Ildiko was certain couldn't have been Baskai. A shadow, paler than its siblings, parted from the stone, exposing a set of three indentations cut shallow in one of the masonry blocks. Brishan placed the three fingers of his right hand into the depressions and whispered another arcane word. Ildiko gasped as the block softened until it melted into the stones on either side of it, leaving an opening, black and deep. She almost batted his arm away when he reached inside the hollow. For all she knew, something with teeth longer and sharper than a kai's lurked in that space. Brishan didn't hesitate and pulled out a small urn. He faced Ildiko, gently cradling the urn.
"What is it?" she asked.
"The answer to your question."
He lifted the lid. For a moment, nothing happened. Then suddenly, a feeble light, no bigger than a dandelion puff, and just as delicate, floated upward until it hovered above its housing. The glow of Brishan's eyes provided the only illumination between them, but it was enough to guide the tiny light as it flickered and bobbed between them.
"My sister," he said softly, "or her memory at least."
Ildiko gasped softly.
His sister?
He'd never spoken of another sibling, only the indifferent brother she met briefly in Haradis. Brishan's revelation begged more questions, the first being, why would his siblings Mortimlight be here at Sagara, hidden away by spellwork, instead of at Emlek, where the Kai held the memories of their dead?
"She was never formally named, but I call her Anaknet. I'd seen 11 seasons when she was born."
The tiny Mortem light floated toward him and balanced on the back of his hand. She was born with a club foot, an imperfect child, and unacceptable to Sekhmis. I thought her pretty. A sinking dread grew in Ildiko's chest. He would tell her something terrible, something to bind her insides into knots. She was tempted to cover her ears, tell him to stop, and apologize to him for asking her silly questions. But she stood silent before him and waited for this childhood tale to unfold. Sekhmis murdered her 4 days after her birth. She broke her neck. I saw her do it.
My gods, Ildiko breathed, horrified at Sekhmis' monstrous cruelty and the knowledge that Brishan, a young boy, had witnessed it.
Brishan continued, his voice flat and distant. Sekhmis is a mage leech. She gains power and long life from forbidden spellwork and the consumption of souls and memories. She was old when my father was a child, though now she goes by a different name and claims lineage from another clan.
Anaknet's Mortem light danced over his palm.
I took Anaknet's light and released her soul before my mother could steal both. Anuzet and my old nurse, Pere, helped me with the lamentation and got me through the memory sickness. Pere kept the light for me, tucked away in the hollow of a birch tree in her sister's garden. When I was given Sagara, I brought Anaknet here.
He coaxed the Mortem light back into the urn, closed the lid, and returned the vessel to its hiding place.
Different spells reformed the masonry block until it hardened, leaving only an expanse of blank wall.
Brishan faced Ildiko fully, and even through a vision compromised by darkness and tears, she still saw the sparks of red that danced in his eyes.
I hate my mother, Ildiko, he said in that same flat voice, down to the marrow of my bones. One day I will kill her. She knows this.
He looked at the place where the urn rested.
Anaknet is why I am who I am, wife, because I refuse to become like the monstrosities who bore us.
Ildiko sniffed and scraped her sleeve across her cheeks in the futile effort to staunch the flow of tears. She reached out to Brishan, carefully, as if he were an injured animal caught in a trap. He accepted her touch, and soon she was wrapped in his embrace.
I'm sorry, she sobbed into his shoulder. So very sorry.
She stroked his hair, holding him for what seemed like hours, listening to the rapid hammer of his heartbeat and the shallow breaths that sometimes verged on sorrowful moans. The Kai didn't weep, but they mourned just as deeply as humans. When he finally stepped away from her, his eyes had lost their red sparks, and Ildiko's had dried of their tears. She grasped one of his hands in both of hers.
I swear I will take this knowledge to my deathbed, Brishan.
One corner of his mouth turned up, and he meshed his fingers with hers.
I know. It's why I told you.
They walked back to the manor in silence, just as a thin line of crimson spread across the far horizon to announce the dawn. Sinwe greeted Ildiko at her door.
Your Highness, are you unwell?
She ushered her charge inside and made her sit on the bed while she poured water into a cup and handed it to her.
This might help. Do you need a cloth for your eyes? They're swollen and red.
Ildiko thought and found a partial lie to tell.
I was crying. She hiccuped a giggle at Sinwe's bewildered look. Humans weep when they're sad. I was missing my family. I'm fine now, though I'll take that cloth.
By the time she'd bathed her hot face and changed into her night trail, the sun had risen enough to turn the plains into a golden sea. Ildiko slipped quietly into Brishan's room and found him, still dressed, standing in a clot of shadows near the open window. He stared eastward into the blinding dawn,
and didn't turn as she padded closer to him.
"Stop, Ildiko."
Startled by the abrupt command, she halted.
"Brishan?"
A faint sigh, and his voice gentled.
"It will be best if you sleep in your bed alone today."
An icy rush of hurt punched her in the gut. She staggered inwardly for a moment, then righted herself. This had nothing to do with her. His recounting of his sister's death had left her emotionally wrung out. She suspected that for him it had torn open old wounds that had scabbed but never healed. He wanted to tend them in isolation. Solitude, however, wasn't always the best comfort. She eased another step forward.
"Are you sure you wish to be alone in your grief?"
His dry chuckle held no humour. "If it were just grief, no. I'd want you here."
He still refused to face her.
"I'm not only grieving, Ildiko. I'm bitter. I'm angry, and I'm lusting."
His voice deepened on the last part of his declaration and sent Ildiko's heartbeat into a gallop. Those emotions together offer nothing but misery and violence for both human and Kai. "It's dangerous for you to be in here with me. Go to your room. I'll talk with you tomorrow." She fled, carrying with her his words before she shut and bolted the door between them.
"Thank you, sweet Ildiko."
Chapter 18. There were times when the day lasted forever and the night never came. For Brishan, this was one of those times. He stared, unblinking, at the bolted door between his and Ildiko's chambers until his eyes burned. He'd caught it, the brief flinch of hurt tightening the skin around her eyes before it disappeared. And her pale features eased into an expression of concern. Brishan thanked the gods he and Ildiko had begun this marriage with such unadorned honesty between them. She'd taken his warning at face value and done exactly as he hoped by fleeing and bolting her door. No cajoling or long explanations as for why he wasn't fit or even safe company at the moment. She might not be able to discern emotion in his eyes, but she knew him well enough now to know his words weren't empty ones. Even through the thick walls and closed door, he heard her soft voice and sinues as they both prepared to sleep. The words were indecipherable, but he found their cadence soothing. They soon faded, leaving only a heavy quiet that leached from the walls to join the shadows that fled from the encroaching sunbeams and pooled at his feet. 22 years had passed since he witnessed his mother murder his sister, and the memory remained as clear as if it happened the previous night. Sekhmet's hands cupping Anaknet's head, fingers like spider legs that curved around the tiny skull until her claw tips touched, the baby's fists curled in innocent sleep. Partially concealed behind the nursery door and made mute with horror, Brishan watched as the queen gently held Anaknet's head for a moment and gave one quick twist. He shook his head to clear it of the memory. He could block out the image, but not the grotesque sound. A soft snick, barely more than a whisper, that over time gained the volume of a thunderclap in his dreams and recollections. Brishan never imagined he'd tell another person about Anaknet. Only two other people knew what he'd seen and done those many years ago. One died a decade earlier of old age. The other would cut out her own tongue before she surrendered her knowledge. Both had been pivotal in helping him abscond with Anaknet's mortem light and release her fragile soul before Sekhmet claimed it, and he remained forever grateful to them. His old nursemaid and his cousin were braver than any 10 Kai warriors combined. Had Sekhmet discovered their roles in his plan?
He shuddered at the thought.
Now Ildiko knew as well. Brisson turned away from the door separating him from his wife. She was like a skin of raw silk, strong as steel, with a lustre woven into her blood and bones. She held him in her arms as he keened an old grief. Like all Kai, he didn't shed tears. Ildiko, however, had shed them for him, and he'd caught the taste of salt and sorrow on his lips when she brushed her mouth across his in a gesture of comfort. The need to embrace her, clasp her hard to every part of his body, had almost overwhelmed him then. She was solace enrobed in smooth flesh and scented hair. He had kept his hands light on her back, knowing that to hold her the way he wanted, he might injure her in his enthusiasm. Her very human body was far weaker than her character. Such knowledge hadn't stopped the lust rising inside him. Warped by anger and simmering hatred for the Queen, that lust poisoned the growing desire he had for his wife, turning it into an ugly thing. When Ildiko appeared in his chamber, dressed in her nightrail and prepared to sleep with him as she did each day, he'd almost lunged at her, blinded by the desperation to sink into her, body and soul. Every part of him ached with the need. Brisson pummeled the temptation into submission. Chilled to the core by images of a woman bloodied and broken by a man possessed. He meant every bit of his thanks when she fled his chamber and bolted the door. Solitude did nothing to cool his rage or his desire. He paced, he drank wine, he called down every curse he knew on the Queen, and finally he grabbed his cloak and quit the chamber where he was certain he could smell Ildiko's flowery scent on his sheets. Sagara was quiet. Most of its inhabitants slept, except for a few hooded guards who saluted Brisson as he strode through the corridors and into the brutal morning daylight. The short walk to the redoubt and its deserted arena did little to soothe his restlessness. He stripped down to his breeches and eagerly took up one of the practice swords set in racks that lined the arena walls. Swords were not his preferred weapons, and straw men made laughable opponents, but he hacked away at them in a sun-blinded frenzy until straw hazed the air and body parts lay strewn across the dirt floor. Muscles quivering with fatigue, Brisson glanced up briefly, startled to see the sun had climbed almost directly overhead. He'd been training in full battle mode for 2 hours, and the sweat streamed off his arms and legs in rivulets. His lungs burned and his body ached, but his head was clear. Mock combat had done its job. The rage had subsided. The lust was still there, but mellowed into a desire that bubbled in his belly. He still wanted Ildiko, fiercely, but to savour instead of conquer.
"You'll be blind for good if you don't cover up, cousin."
Brisson turned and squinted at Anuzette. She stood to one side, his discarded cloak draped over her arm. She unlaced the hood from the cloak and tossed it to him.
"I'm amazed you can still see at all."
He caught the hood, but held off from pulling it over his head until he could rinse off the grime and bits of straw coating his skin. The cold water shock from the nearby well banished any exhaustion. Water from his dripping hair and breeches puddled at his feet. While the hood offered relief from the punishing light, it weighed hot and stifling on his head and shoulders.
"You look like a half-drowned mage finder," Anuzette said.
He scowled at her.
"Be glad I didn't shake the water off, or you'd be as drenched as me." He used his cloak to wipe his arms. "What are you doing here?"
She shrugged.
"You know I've never been a good sleeper. I thought I might come to the arena to train for a while. Imagine my surprise at finding you here."
Her eyes narrowed to glowing slits within the shadows of her hood.
Where's the Herr Sigersay?
Brisson gazed at his cousin, Anuzette, sharp, intuitive. She knew him better and longer than anyone. Something about his demeanour alarmed her.
Asleep in her bed, unlike either of us.
He withstood her silent scrutiny. She'd have her say, and his best course of action was to wait until she did.
Unless your sword arm needs improving, there are better ways to spend a sleepless day. I know a dozen women who'd be happy to cool the fire for you.
He'd briefly entertained the thought. Ildiko had once hinted she didn't mind if he took a mistress, yet he wondered if that still held true. 3 days earlier, they had lain together in his bed. He hadn't imagined the delicate shiver that raced down her body as he nuzzled her temple, and that shiver had not been fear.
I wouldn't survive the affections of a dozen Kai women, cousin. Besides, only one can cool the fire.
Anuzette's lips twitched. And that one isn't Kai. What has Ildiko become to you?
The fire.
He nodded once to her and started to leave the arena. She called to him. Don't you want to spar with me?
Brisson shook his head and kept walking.
No, I miss my wife. Are you sure you're not trying to avoid me beating you into one big bruise?
He waved away her taunt.
That too. If he didn't dawdle, he'd have a few hours to bring Ildiko back to his bed where she belonged and sleep the last daylight hours away with her by his side. Anuzette wasn't finished with him yet.
Your Highness, when Lord Panjin arrives at Sagara this evening, do you wish for us to escort him from the main road or from the gates of the redoubt?
He halted, cursing under his breath. Serevec, the dinner. He'd forgotten. He pinched the bridge of his nose between thumb and forefinger. The headache he suffered from the sun just grew worse. Brisson was tempted to tell Anuzette to kindly escort their guest back home the moment he arrived. Such an action, though, guaranteed a neighbour no longer amiable or forthcoming with information.
Meet him and his party at the main road.
He was glad for the hood which hid his smirk.
Anuzette, you'll attend the dinner and the dancing afterwards.
The low snarl that met his command widened his smirk to a grin. Brisson walked away, listening closely for the telltale snick of a sword unsheathed, or the breath of air cleaved by a flying dagger. He returned to the manor unscathed, and found its occupant still deep in slumber. His personal servant slept in a modest chamber nearby. Brisson let him sleep, unwilling to rouse the man in the middle of the day just to bring him water for a bath. A face cloth and the water in his wash basin and pitcher would have to do. The sodden breeches were discarded and tossed in a heap in one corner. He scrubbed away the dirt, the well-water dousing mist, donned a pair of linen breeches he was truly starting to despise, and made his way to the door between his chamber and Ildiko's. Sleeping naked next to her that one time had been a mistake. Ildiko had caught him off guard by waking up before him. Luckily, neither of them were prone to cuddle in their sleep, or she would have discovered very quickly that his deep affection for her was changing into something far beyond the platonic. Trapped under the covers until she left to change in her room, Brisson had collapsed on the bed with a frustrated groan once he was alone, and vowed they'd sleep separately after that. His vow lasted less than a day. He wanted her beside him. Were he his father, Brisson could turn the door thin as parchment and walk through it to retrieve his wife. Were he his grandfather, he could pass through the solid wood, as ethereal as any wraith. But the magic was fading in the Kai with every generation born. Brisson conserved the magic he possessed, and limited the use of his power to a few chanted words that slid the bolt free on the other side. He eased around the door
and discovered a bleary-eyed Sinwe rising from her bed in the shallow alcove in one corner of the room. He held a finger to his lips for silence. She nodded and lay down, her back to him. Ildiko sprawled in the middle of her bed, asleep on her stomach, with half her face buried in the pillows. She presented him with a profile that shone as pale as the sheets in the darkness. He once called her a hag of a woman, leached of colour, except for the bitter mollusk pink that surged under her skin in uneven patches when she was angry or embarrassed. He'd found her both ugly and peculiar to behold. Had it only been a few months earlier that he bore such thoughts of her? Looking at her now, Brishan wondered how he could have thought her unsightly. Her eyes still brought him up short on occasion, especially when she teased him by crossing them toward her nose. But he'd ceased comparing them to parasites. They were just eyes, different from his and fascinating in their own way, with their colourful irises and black pupils that shrank or expanded depending on the light or her emotions. Her eyes were hidden from him now, behind closed lids edged in bronze lashes. Serevek had called her beautiful, and Brishan hadn't missed the long stares cast upon her by the Gowrie nobleman who attended her wedding. He tried to see her as a Gowrie man might, but failed in the endeavour. A sudden realisation made him smile a little. One of his wife's greatest strengths, and a thing he most admired about her, was her ability to adapt to a situation and still remain steadfast in her own sense of worth and place. Brishan no longer viewed her with the eyes of a Kai, and couldn't view her with the eyes of a human male, but that held no consequence now. He saw her as she'd always seen herself, as simply Ildiko. For her, it was enough. For him, a gift beyond price. He reached down to thread her loose hair through his fingers. She murmured in her sleep and rolled onto her back, exposing delicate collarbones and the outline of her breasts beneath the night trail. She lay before him, a study in shade and shadow play. She didn't startle when he slid his arms beneath her and scooped her up from the bed. Her eyes opened slowly, and she nestled against his chest. "Is it evening already, Brishan?" Brishan kissed the top of her head as he padded from her chamber to his and kicked the door closed behind him. "No, still midday. Unlike you, I no longer sleep well without you next to me." Ildiko patted his chest with one hand. "Your fault. You told me to go." He tightened his embrace. "I did, and was right to do so." He climbed into his bed, still holding her. The sheets were cool on his legs, Ildiko hot on his torso. Her hand wandered along his shoulder and up his neck until she cupped his jaw. Her dark pupils nearly swallowed the blue in her eyes. "Sekhmis is a vile and evil woman, Brishan." He turned his face into her palm and planted a kiss in its curvature.
"Don't bother with lavish compliments, wife," he said. "You'll never endear my loathsome mother to me." Ildiko shook with sleepy laughter.
Her amusement faded, and in the room's tenebrous shade, her eyes glistened with sympathy and something else that ignited the desire simmering restlessly in Brishan's veins.
"My noble prince," she said, "you are..."
She frowned, searching for the words.
"A dead eel?"
His hands tracked their own path over her body, learning each curve beneath the thin night trail.
"No," she said. "More like a raven, dark and elegant.
A clever scavenger."
Ildiko gave him a mock scowl.
a beautiful bird. She thumped him on the arm. Stop fishing for compliments, you vain creature.
Brishan rolled, taking Ildiko with him until she lay fully under him. Her thighs opened, and he sank against her. They both gasped and stilled, all traces of humour gone. If she had no awareness of his body's reaction to her before this, and Ildiko, by her own admission, was neither that innocent nor that foolish, she couldn't mistake it now.
Forearms braced on either side of her head, he kept most of his weight off her, careful not to crush her into the bed. Ildiko's eyes were wide, her breathing thin and quick, an accompaniment to his own laboured breaths. He played with the curling strands of her hair that caught on his fingers like spiderweb.
"I am no poet possessing honeyed words," he said, "but you have always known me to be forthright with you."
Gods, his muscles shook as if from cold in his effort to stay still and not thrust hard against her.
"I want you, Ildiko. Want to sink so deep into you that neither of us will know where one ends and the other begins." Only the darker blue rim of her irises still shone around her pupils. His voice had gone guttural, and he worked to soften it.
"I've never forced a woman, Kai or human, and I never will. If you refuse me, this will stop, and no ill will between us."
"Please," he prayed, and he didn't know if he prayed to Kai gods or the statue-still woman pressed against him.
"Don't refuse me."
Ildiko's black-eyed stare sharpened, and she peered into his gaze as if searching for something. Whatever she found transformed her expression. Her lids lowered, sinking to half-mast. Her breathing deepened, and her lips parted, revealing the edges of her upper front teeth. Hardly daring to hope, and half-dizzy with want, Brishan watched, fascinated, as the tip of her tongue darted out to swipe across her lower lip. The silence yawned between them as she continued to stare at him.
"What is it, Ildiko?" he asked. "What do you see?"
His question acted as a catalyst, breaking a spell that held him beguiled and her enthralled. She opened beneath him, not just her body, all of her. He sensed it in every part of him. She twined her arms around his neck and tilted her head until her lips brushed the corner of his mouth.
"My beautiful husband," she said, "I see radiance."
He groaned low in his throat as her mouth captured his. Ildiko buried her hands in his hair, pressing him closer to slide her tongue across the sensitive skin under his top lip, and then his lower one. Brishan returned the caress, plying playful swipes at the edges of her lips and along the corners until she rocked in his arms, hips bumping against his in clumsy rhythm while he learned her taste and she learned his. Ildiko didn't kiss as a Kai woman did. Her kisses were forceful, a sucking, nipping dance along his lips, with her tongue seeking entrance past the barrier of his teeth clamped tight against intrusion. It was as if she'd forgotten the sharpness of his fangs, or simply no longer cared. Brishan pulled away, despite Ildiko's protesting gasps. He pressed a finger to her lips, the tip of one black claw barely brushing the end of her nose. The air felt thin in his lungs.
"I've seen humans